30. I come to the area for whose lands we are meeting and pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging. I also wish to acknowledge the Freeman of the city, Arnold Carter. Thanks for coming. I also notice in the crowd we have the mayor, Camilla Blink. So thanks for coming. Louise Newbury, the deputy mayor. So thanks for coming. And of course, the Shire president from Onslow is here. So Kerry White is here. So thanks for dropping in. I'd just also like to thank everyone, all the members of the public, for attending. It is important that people get to see what happens in council and why. I also wish to welcome those that have joined us online, and a special thanks to Peter Rogers and Carolyn Knight from Mandurah, who told me they're going to be tuning in tonight. So. We'll just run through these particular items. Item 3.2, test by telephone, there's none, there's no apology, it's nil. Approval of the leave is nil. Disclosure of interest is nil. Application for leave is nil. Is that two times? The response to previous questions. There is one response under 5.1.1 from a question asked by Ron Atwood, which is listed on the agenda. Response to questions taken on notice from elected members at the ordinary meeting held on the 26th of June. There is nil. And there's a, before I start public question, public time, it's just a statement I wish to read out. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape and streamed on live on stream online. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. In accordance with the town standing orders, nobody shall record proceedings at any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the chairperson. No one has. The mobile phones are required to be switched off. A person may make up to three questions at a meeting. The minimum time to be allocated for asking questions and responses. Two questions raised by members of the public is 15 minutes. The presiding member may extend question time for up to 60 minutes after the end of the minimum time for question time and questions and answers. Members of the public are required to complete the question form and place the completed form in the tray provided. In accordance with the town standing orders, if the presiding member determines that questions and statements are out of order due to the use of offensive or objectionable expressions or defamatory, they will not be recorded or responded to. Question time is now open at 5:34. Do we have any questions from the public? Yep. Just take your full name and address.
My name is Chris Wally. I'm at the retirement village on Port Hedland. I've got one question for the town of Port Hedland, Commissioner. Given that the leases of most of the residents of the retirement village expired last month, June 30th, does the town of Port Hedland have any new leasing arrangements in place for the residents at all? That's
Mr. Warren, we are working on that at the moment, and we will be coming back to the residents to advise them of what the proceedings.
You'll be informing us.
We will be, and very shortly.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions? I know everyone knows you, but if you just state the name as well, please.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. My name is George DeCash, 26 Nancy Street, Port Head on WA6721. Mr. Commissioner, the previous minutes are wrong due to the fact that when I was a councillor, I did ask on a number of occasions if council can approach the main shopping centres for seniors car park spaces to be installed next to the disabled car parks. Again, I have not. The minister doesn't state anything that happened about that. So, can I ask what the status is of that request that I ask? And in doing so, not wanting to be hypocritical, I suppose I want to also ask if council can provide a couple of not disabled car parks, but senior car parks next to the disabled car parks at the civic centre down the road here.
Yeah, thanks. Being a senior, I'm interested in the answer. Who do I throw that to?
Mr. Cash, I'll take that on notice and come back to you with an answer when we are.
Through the chair, that's twice now you've taken on notice, CEO, because...
I haven't taken this on notice personally. I don't recall that question being asked, but I will do now and we'll...
Through you, Mr. Commissioner, it's been twice now that I've asked, and this is the third time, so... I'd be appreciative something does have, especially like you said, you're a senior, and it'd be good to have it. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Okay. Any other questions on it?
Dean Davis, Two Level Way. I'm here tonight in regards to local government recent promotions and support of recycling within the community. Local government has been addressed multiple times about concerns of dangers of education and the procedures endorsed by local government on disposal of biohazardous waste in unmarked, unrated containers and recycling. The question is, why is council promoting and endorsing and ignoring presented dangers when it should be refusing to promote and endorse until the problem is resolved?
I just don't quite understand the question. In relation to a statewide recycling program, is it that you're asking questions about?
I assume it is. I've been talking at the local level in regards to it and the dangers imposed.
Yeah, what with hazardous waste or something?
Well, currently the state and the local government have promoted biohazardous needle waste into unmarked, unrated containers that end up in general waste or recycling streams.
Right.
And they have been using that as a means of stating that the needle waste found around the local community is acceptable because of policies like those.
Okay, thanks. My rough understanding is that this is the Needle Exchange Program.
Is yes.
a federal program.
Well, federal, state, hang on, but it's state.
I'm just saying what my understanding is. Run by the state through the health department. That's my understanding of the needle exchange program. I do understand that the needle exchange program in Headland hasn't been functioning particularly well, and in fact no longer
operates. There is no exchange program, never has, as far as
I know. Okay. My understanding is that it should operate out of the hospital, but the hospital is not operating. And that I think the health department is looking to try and get the Well Women's Centre to take on that task, but wants it to be taken on without payment of any rent or the like. And so that creates a problem. So the health department should, in fact, pick up the ball in relation to that. I think we have pick up litter and programs that encourage people not to litter. I presume, is there any other programs that we have?
Through the chair, we have public community groups undertaking litter collection programs on the roadsides and different local reserves, and we also have our own collection programs through our parks and gardens teams.
And just by the by, your local upper house member, Stephen Dawson, is the minister that
refuses to correspond over this matter and states that needle waste is not his portfolio.
Don't overyell me. I'm just responding. And once I've finished, I'm not going to interrupt you. Don't interrupt me, okay? Mr. Dawson is the minister that is control of the waste strategy for Western Australia. And my understanding is the former Minister Sheila McHale is the chairperson of that board. I don't know how many times you've spoken to him, but if you like to send a letter to me, I will direct that to the Minister.
I have spoken to Kevin Michael, who states that there is currently no local location acceptable for a needle exchange program. And I've also been in recent correspondence with your staff that state they intend to increase the number and visibility of sharp disposal points over a needle exchange program scheme. You know, it's been expressed multiple times in council meetings and acknowledged that the community don't want parks, children's playgrounds turned into high traffic needle drug locations.
All right, is there anything else you want to say?
You know, why is local government not listening to community or direction voted on in council meetings? Council voted unanimously to take every available option for a needle exchange program.
Well, I think council probably is, but whether that satisfies you is a different matter, I suppose. But
Why are they heading in a different direction?
I don't know that they are.
Well, the correspondence I have says that they are increasing the number and visibility of sharp disposal points. That is not in line with the direction of the needle exchange program. So my question is, what are the costs to set up each sharp disposal point? Okay. Location and maintain it over the course of 12 months.
Okay, that's the last question. I'll just ask the officer to respond.
Through the chair, Mr. Davis, the town is supported and currently operates needle disposal points through multiple public toilet facilities and other facilities through the community. This is a standard approach taken across the state and the country, and is due to the occurrence of needles which do occur in the community. It's an unfortunate thing, but the town does need to provide these disposal points. In relation to increasing those disposal points, well, that can come online with new facilities that occur, and it's standard practice to install disposal points in those locations. With respect to supporting the needle exchange program, the town actively supports the program, and any requests that's come through from the health department, we've tried to assist. It's the health department leading and managing this initiative, and we will support where we can, but it is up to them to identify a site. If we can support that, we will. Our request hasn't come through as yet, but we are in communication with the health department and we'll assist them where we can.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Any other questions, members?
My name's Dion Hawthorne, 13 Barrow Place in South Devon. I asked a question based on more formality sort of situation. A state administrative tribunal came back with a ruling against one of the councillors on the 24th of June against Councillor Cash. Pretty scathing ruling at that. I'm not sure if you've read that in full. I'd like to know, even though they're suspended now, whether there's a follow-up on the State Administrative Tribunal in way of, is he reprimanded, is he fined, is he removed?
Thanks for the question. I know nothing about it. We'll have to take that on notice and we'll give you a written reply.
Sure. One other question. Has the Commissioner made a decision on the date for the next elections, whether it will be in October or in February?
It definitely won't be in October. That date will be announced and advertised, possibly in early February or late January, somewhere in there.
So at the end of the suspension?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any other questions from the members of the public? Question time is now closed. Is there any public? 5:45. Is there any public statements anyone wants to make? No? Any petitions, deputations, presentations, or submissions? Item 7, it's questions from members without notice, is not applicable. Announcements from presiding officer in relation to item 8. That's a list of the suspended mayor's activities from the 5th of June through to the 27th of June. Item 9 is the in relation to a declaration. I declare that I have given due consideration to all matters contained in the agenda. Item 10, I confirm that the minutes of the ordinary meeting held Wednesday the 26th of June 2019 are true and correct record. There's a disclaimer that needs to be read out. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Members, because we don't have councillors to ask questions in relation to the items. It's my intention to give a quick summary of what I have decided in relation to each item. And I don't know if it's going to take very long, so just bear with us, but I think that's the best way to keep people informed as to what my thinking is and what's happening. So item 1.11, which is the financial activities for 2009 from 31st of May. I've looked over the pages and of the statements, and they appear to be in order. So I support the recommendations set out on page 12 of this report. Item 11.1.2 is a policy on legal representation of councillors and employees. This policy document authorises the payment of up to $10,000 for a council member or employee in a legal dispute. I note that in the budget there's been an allocation of $150,000 has been allocated in the budget. The rules of this policy are quite simple. Excuse me. If an action is commenced against a councillor or staff member who has acted lawfully and with the best intent, the funds then flow. The officer or councillor must sign a declaration to that effect. If later found to be false, must repay the money that's been advanced. A greater amount than the $10,000 can flow once the initial part is over. I've asked that the paper be drawn up so that council can get legal advice directly through from council if council is in a legal dispute with the CEO, because most all legal advice comes from the CEO. So if there's a dispute between the the CEO and the council members, and then that will authorise a similar system to what we just outlined. This would occur very, very rarely, if ever. I support the recommendation 1 and 2 on page 16 of this report. Item 11.1.3, which is the awarding of a tender for IT management. This item is for the awarding of a tender to provide IT services. I've received a briefing on this matter and am convinced that the tender is excellent value for the money, which I'll announce in a second. There were 12 tenderers. They were evaluated, and the company that has won this award was the best for service and value for money that has been, the company's been chosen. So I support the recommendation on page 41 of this agenda. The company that has been successful is XCY Proprietary Limited, and the contract value is $129,600, excluding GST. The next item is a request for reimbursement of monies that were paid by the Mayor in relation to an appeal against the Standards Panel decision. This item is a request from the Mayor for a refund of $500 paid to lodge an appeal against the findings of the Standards Panel. The appeal went to the State Administrative Tribunal and was successful. I don't know what their process is. If you're successful, when you get that fees back, but probably not. I consider that it is right that the monies be paid or refunded. I therefore support the officer's recommendation found on page 46 of this agenda. Next item, 11.1.5, is in relation to an offer to purchase. This item has a degree of confidentiality about it, so I won't be talking about any amounts and the like. This was a difficult matter to deal with. However, on balance, the offer, if you balance the offer with the consequences of accepting, I've decided to reject the offer. I support the recommendation found on page 53 of the agenda. Item 11.2.1, which is the annual community development grants. This is quite a pleasant task, of course. Always is pleasant awarding cash awards to various groups. This item was a pleasure to consider this report. Three very worthwhile groups will receive $10,000 each, and one group an amount of $9,000. First group was the Youth Involvement Council. They've developed a plan for a self-esteem program, and they've received $10,000 to assist that delivery of that service. The Headland Community Living Association, Inc. There's a program for disadvantaged and at-risk youth to access recreational activities. The third group is the Unit 2 Boxing Inc. They're going to use the money to hold community events. And of course, the fourth one is the Army Cadets, which is a grant of $9,000 that will be used to enhance the skills of the cadet unit. I do support the recommendation on page 60 of the agenda. I do thank the staff for assessing the 8 applications. It wasn't easy, I wouldn't have thought, to say these are the best. There's very worthwhile applicants in that group, and I hope they get some grant assistance some way. I've asked to maybe look at how we can do that. Item 11.2.2, which is something dear to my heart, political advertising in my past life, of course. Advertising politics was my bread and butter. But this item removes the need for people to comply with our advertising signs rules during election time. The rules will be that a decision of officers will be based on the safety of the public. So that'll be the determining factor as to where and how big signs and such forth can be. These changes prohibit putting signs on Shire land, so the Shire land won't be accessible. These rules make a lot of sense, and I support the recommendation on page 66 of the agenda. The next item is 11.2.3, which is the Port Hedland International Airport Master Plan and Capital Works Program. This report covers the International Airport Master Plan. This plan is required to be lodged with the Shire before any development can be lodged. It should be noted that we have had independent review done on the master plan, and the only remaining matter outstanding now is the noise contour plan. This has been dealt with and should not hold up the significant money being spent on improving our terminal. The changes to the highway precinct to be more commercial seem to me to make sense. After a number of hours trying to digest quite a large report, I support the master plan and capital works. I support the recommendation as set out on page 82 of this agenda. Next plan, which is item 11.2.4, which is the JD Hardy Site Master Plan. I think this is quite an exciting project for the community. This item is the master plan for the site of the JD Hardy site. This body of work is a combination of community consultation, broad community consultation, consultation with the people that use the centre. The plan identifies the urgent need for daycare places of up to, and will provide up to 100 places in this plan. The high demand for covered sporting arenas is also part of this plan. That demand is right throughout Port Hedland. This plan has a delivery date in 3 years to complete, but it will be much shorter if we can convince the federal government and the state government to be part of this plan. I wish to congratulate the staff for the excellent work in getting this project to this point. It is truly a remarkable document which I think expands the centre, which is heavily used now, and will be more heavily used as a result of this infrastructure. So I fully support the recommendation on page 89 of this agenda. And last but not least, a request for the lights. Item 11.3.1. I just asked whether I missed one. I think I got through it a bit quicker than I thought. So. This report is about a small parcel of land that is situated next to the cable building near the Overflow Caravan Park enclosure. The land will, this allocation will not stop others from getting access or accommodation in that industry that want similar access to the cable. My understanding is there's probably enough site for half a dozen or so of these sort of operations. So I support the recommendation set out on page 100 of this agenda. The next item members of the public is a confidential item, and as a result, I'd ask you to leave the room and come back later. Thanks for waiting around. The item that we considered in confidential part of the meeting was to approve a new structure of council, and I've approved the creation of a new structure which includes four directors and a deputy CEO, so it's four in total. And I've also approved the advertising and recruitment of that, of those people. So that's what it was. Thanks. Now, I suppose, sorry, I should have reopened the council.
You did it before.
Okay. Right. So that is the official end of tonight's proceedings. So that's finished at 6:05. Thanks for coming.